You and I have been walking a bit of a journey as we've been looking at the miracles of Christmas. You know, the word from the Lord was to engage and to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, part of that really reflects, I hope, for you as well as it does for me, that this is about such an important time, Christmas, and the season that this reflects on, and the important part about a Christmas miracle. And what I'd like to do in my study of this and my preparation, I've been saying, Lord, where do we go? I mean, this is kind of an unusual weekend. We're all busy with a lot of events, a lot of different things, a lot of emotions and feelings. I mean, obviously Christmas, you can imagine how different it is for the Elmore family. For some of us who've lost a loved one, or we remember some of the things that Christmas can bring back of memory, good and maybe not so good. And again, we think about this. There are miracles that God does. There are the ones that we talk about, and then there's some that I'd like for you and I to see that maybe are a little different this year. And so I'd like to look at some of the things that really reflect a Christmas miracle. And in Luke chapter 1, we begin with verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now, as simple as that is, and again, it's almost a little bit of historical information. This is what's happening. We've got an angel. We know Gabriel. Gabriel's an important angel going to the city of Galilee, obviously Nazareth, and there is basically two kids who are going to get married. And we've talked a lot about it. Again, quick reminder, you know, in a Jewish ceremony of getting married, it really is a long process of well over a year. Sometimes it can, you know, often children are matched up when they're very young, and then later on they actually will end up coming to that point of a wedding. But at this point, there's an engagement that we know. That's what it means, betrothed to a man. So engaged, basically. And engaged at this time was like being married. You know, there's not the benefits of being married yet, because obviously at this point in time, as God's word tells us, you don't have sexual relationships till you get married. But so what's happening here is information. Now, the virgin's name, and again, the concept of the virginity is important because it's talking about the fact that Mary has not known any man, and she's a young woman who is living life. And here's the thing. She's just a normal young lady. I mean, we don't know her exact age, but we're fairly certain she was basically very young. And Joseph was a young a man. He was a little bit older, we're fairly certain of. We don't know how much older. But they're getting ready to just do normal life. I mean, there was nothing weird about this. I mean, you got to realize Joseph, hey, let's get married. And it wasn't like something like, you know, crazy special was going on. They probably grew up in a similar village. They knew each other. Their families knew each other. And all this was just like normal. And that, to me, brings about an amazing point. Because God uses us for his service. As common and as everyday as Mary and Joseph were, and before, if you will, the birth of God's only begotten Son takes place, they were common and ordinary just like us. Right. Now, I want you to get a hold of this truth. Because what this tells us, I mean, you got to think about it. In this sense here, the idea of Mary is that we know some things about Mary. She was young. She was probably fairly poor. Uneducated. There was, again, nothing. She grew up in a normal process of going to what would have been known as a synagogue in her village. She would have been raised and trained to be a wife and a mom, and so she learned all those kinds of normal stuff. And she was playing like a kid, grew up, and at some point just helping mom, cleaning house, doing all those kinds of things. She was a normal young lady, as was Joseph, a normal young guy. Nothing was different about them. And that has always astounded me. I mean, who is it that you're going to pick to be the vessel of God's only begotten Son? I mean, you would think it'd be like kind of super special, you know, or somehow there would be some certification process that would go on, or something that would have to happen that says, okay, you're now it. You know, you have been, we have vetted you, and we know now that you are the one that can make all this happen, and this will be, you're the match, right? You know, eHarmony of the biblical times. We want to make sure this all works. Let's get online. Let's check everything out. None of that's going on, and I want you to understand that this is a miracle. And you think about it, God uses us for his service. And I want you to understand, regardless of who we have been, God uses us. All the things that we look back, and I've had this conversation with many people, and it's like, God couldn't use me because of XYZ. Here's what the Word is saying, that's not true. God can use you. That God can take whatever has been, and there can be a transformation that takes place, and it is, if you will, a miracle of God, that God would take us and use us for his service. And so part of what's happening here, you know, the specialness of Mary and Joseph is after the fact. Before the fact, I mean, I'm certainly they're good kids, but they're normal, everyday human beings. There is nothing, and you have to understand, there is nothing of perfection in Mary or Joseph. As much as, again, we get confused if you were raised in the Catholic Church, you might recognize in some teaching that comes with Mary, and certainly she is someone to be honored. I mean, if you were the only female to ever in all of history be picked to be the mother of Jesus, I'd say that's pretty cool. And that deserves something of special notoriety. But it doesn't mean, as often is a sign, she was not a perfect human being, nor was she in any way in akin to the things of Jesus. She was the mother of Jesus. Joseph was the, if you will, the father, the earthly father of Jesus because of what happened. So I want you to understand that there's a lot of information here, but recognize the miracle of how God uses us. I mean, that is something that is absolutely amazing. Now, we go on in the statement, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one," or literally, "accept in the beloved. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, let's stop for there for a second because I know there's another verse there. But I want you to see that's a very powerful statement. Now, what's interesting about that statement, I'm sure if you were to read that statement, you would do like what I did. You open up your Greek Bible and you check the Greek words in there. And then you would go to your Greek dictionary and make sure you got the right definition. And then you would check out your concordance. And here's what you would discover, having done that little bit of a study. You'd realize, wait a second, this word that's being used, highly favored one, is only used twice in the entire New Testament. And then, being a student of the word, you go, wow, this is exciting. Why, God, would you only use it? Because every now and then, God just uses a word once or twice. Now, when you find that, you want to take note of it. You want to ask the question, why? Now, what's interesting is that the second time it's used is right here in Ephesians 1:6, by which he made us accepted, highly favored one in the beloved. Now, here's what's kind of crazy about this. Is that obviously in Luke, we're talking about Mary. In Ephesians, we're talking about us, you and I. I mean, it's kind of interesting. And I thought, God, this is an amazing miracle that we are highly favored and accepted by Jesus for who we are. Now you got to realize, based on what we've already said, Mary is kind of this normal human being who has been chosen by God. And here's the point. You are normal human beings chosen by God. And you have been accepted and favored by God because you are one of God's amazing created beings. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So I want you to get this. This is an important statement. I mean, if you were Mary and an angel showed up and said, "Hey, how's it going, Mary? You're about to get pregnant." I mean, you'd want to have a little affirmation and a little help here. And so what's happening here is that there's something being said about the uniqueness of this moment. And the angel's saying, listen, you are highly favored. I want you to understand, it's not because of anything she's done. Here's the mistake we make. We somehow assign she's highly favored because of some work or action or she's highly favored because of her virginity, so that somehow that speaks to being somehow highly favored. That's not the case. What this is saying here is a direct connection to the concept of God's grace. You are highly favored and accepted because of God's grace, not because of something you've done. You are about to be used uniquely, but you haven't done anything to account for how you're about to be used. I want you to listen. God says the same thing to us. God would declare you are highly favored ones accepted by Him. And God is going to use you, and how He is going to use you will be absolutely amazing and unique for the world that you might live in. Because I'm looking at some of you, and God has used you in ways that are unique. And would you ever imagine being in Guatemala and bringing the message of Jesus, as I'm looking at some from the team have, and touching lives like you have? I mean, can you imagine some of the things we've done in the homes of people in our community? The support we've given, the prayer we've offered, the just being there sometimes. God has used us for unique moments because He's declared, listen, there is nothing special about you, but I'm going to do a miracle in your life. I'm going to use you for my service because you, by God's grace, are highly favored. I like that because you can't earn it and you don't work for it. God's grace is something that's freely given. And so Mary is highly favored. And I love this. We are highly favored. And you begin to think about that. Who of us deserve to be even known as highly favored? And so you recognize and you think, God, that's a miracle that you would even think of me in that way. So the passage goes on and we recognize that in Luke 29, but when they saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. Okay, the word here is grace with God. Not just like, you have found favor like, okay, you're like rich and famous kind of favor. You are found favor because God is pouring out His grace onto your life. And, I mean, this is one of those things where, I mean, she is obviously a little bit nervous about this. Who wouldn't be afraid? All of a sudden, here's an angel. And I'm convinced, because when it says what manner of greeting this was, that, she knew something was different about, I mean, here was an angel in human form. But there was something unique about it. I have no idea what Gabriel looked like that moment. And we got lots of ideas, and Hollywood has kind of messed up our imagery of the whole thing. But basically, there was something, I believe, different that she noticed. That's why she said what manner of greeting this was. It's kind of like she's saying, man, you got an accent. You're not from here, are you? And that's all that's really saying. And in that moment, she recognizes this, and the angel said, listen, because what human being wouldn't be afraid? But you know what? You have found favor. I think that's a miracle of God, overcoming the fear of the fact that, okay, I've just said something, that God's going to use you for a service, that God sees you as accepted and highly favored, and you're going, oh my God, what does that mean? Does that mean I got to do something now? Does that mean I got to do ministry? I got to talk to someone? I got to go, I mean, all of a sudden you begin thinking, I don't know if I want to listen to this any longer because this might mean I have to do something. Well, in the midst of that kind of fear, here comes another miracle that God says you and I can overcome fear. The fear that would hold us back from doing the work that God's called us to do. And there can be other reasons why we become fearful. And I think of some of the things that I've heard people say, well, I'm afraid I won't, but it's going to take away from my job. I don't have time to do this. It's going to take away maybe from other activities, or a lot of people feel, I just don't think I'm capable of doing this. I don't know if I could even handle that kind of opportunity. And we begin to think about some of the things that can begin to invade us. Fear is a very damaging kind of thing. Now, at times, fear is a good thing, right? God created us at times to be afraid. And we've talked about that, right? If you're going down a dark alley at 2 a.m. in the middle of Seattle, and you start feeling fear, that might be a good thing. But a lot of times we become fearful or anxious about other normal everyday things because of what begins to get seated in us. And what you see in a moment that God wants to bring life into us. And part of overcoming fear, look at, I just like this companion passage here. It says, for I know, in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Here's the thing of God's miracle. Regardless of what has happened in the past, God's word to us is, you still have a future and a hope. Not because of what you have or haven't done, but because of my grace in you. Now, I got to tell you, that's a miracle because I don't know about you, I look at my life and think of some of the things that have happened in the past. I think, God, man, I think that might have nullified me to be anything. And yet God says, no, it doesn't nullify you. It means that I'm going to do a work in you because even still, you and I, the Word of God says, we have a hope and a future. Can you say amen to that? I mean, that is a miracle of Christmas because a lot of human beings feel like they lose hope and a future. I had this conversation just a few weeks ago with someone who was a little over 55-ish kind of age, and he was talking about his life, and he was just feeling like there was no future and not much hope. And if you had heard him, you would have heard something like, well, I've worked my whole life, you know, and I've worked for a paycheck. And here I am today, 30 years later, and it just feels like I haven't accomplished what I hoped for. You know, I've done a lot out of fear. And he said, I said, what do you mean fear? Well, I was afraid I wouldn't have retirement, wouldn't have medical, wouldn't have a regular paycheck. So I've made choices, and it kind of dawned on him, I've made choices out of fear, and now here I am. And he said, he's basically facing the consequences of making choices because I didn't think anything else would work out. And I said, and I actually turned to Jeremiah and I said, but I want you to know something. God has something for you. You might think you're too old now, but I want you to know you are not too old. God can use you at any place in life. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be old. You can be anywhere in the spectrum, and God can come and say, I am going to bring into you new life. I am going to work a future and bring about hope that you don't have to settle for something that would be less. And so it's almost like God would say to us, listen, don't be afraid. It's going to work out. It goes on and says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said, the angel, well, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Jesus Christ incarnates a miracle. But I want you to see something for you and I as mature adults. I want you to recognize the word picture that's being presented here. Because we know, according to Scripture, God's word is like a seed. And when that seed is put into our heart, into our soul, into our spirit, it conceives and brings about life. In the same way that you would have, you know, something happen and the conception would take place between a man and a woman, and the result would be life. Now, in this case, though, I want you to understand, in Mary's situation, there is no normal conception process. She is not having sexual intercourse with anyone. This conception is by what? The Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think about how the Holy Spirit can conceive in us the seed of God's word and bring about life. Because where you might see emptiness or darkness or hopelessness, where you might have some sense of, how could God ever use me? God would say, but if you would take my word and let it bring about conception in your heart, then life will take place. And you and I would say, that's a miracle. Because how could life ever come out of that in me? And yet that's exactly what is a miracle of Christmas. That if God's word is in us, then life will be conceived. Because the reality is, whenever God's word is spoken, life takes place. I think we need to understand the miracle of that. That's part of God's Christmas miracle to us. The miracle of Christmas is, we continue in verse 35, and the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Now, before I go on and read that last statement, there's a lot going on there. Okay, Mary, let's talk. Here's what's about to happen. You're going to get pregnant. And it's going to happen by way of the Holy Spirit. By the way, miracles happen for your relative, Elizabeth. And if you go see her, you'll find out, because she is really old, she's now pregnant and about to have this baby that they thought would never happen. A miracle is taking, not the same miracle, not in the same way, Mary, as what's going to happen to you, but I want to for you to know God is working miracles right now all around you. And one of the miracles is the fact that your relative, Elizabeth, even though she knew it, everyone else around her knew it, we're done having children, just not going to happen, is now pregnant and about to give birth, as we know, to her son John. And you think about this, these are all impossible things that God's making possible. You think about it, because it says at the very end, in the midst of all this, the final statement. We love this. I mean, we've talked about this before. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Say that with me. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I put the Amplified Bible up there as that last. It says, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Now, obviously, we're talking about a prophetic word here, but also talking about how God brings a word in us. And in the same way, God would bring his word into us. With God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word of a future and a hope of what God can do in us is impossible. The minute you start thinking and believing, this is impossible, you're in violation of God's word. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, because we have to recognize miracles are the result of God's grace. You can't work it. You can't force it. You can't make it happen. But we are called to live in accordance to God's word, that he would produce in us and conceive in us miracles, life, and hope. Because that's what his word does. Otherwise, to believe otherwise, to think that this word is nothing more than literature, nice ideas, great sayings, as opposed to believing it is the word of God that brings about life, change, transformation. It is such a powerful thing. And that's part of the miracle of Christmas that it comes about. There's a miracle of courage here, because Mary's statement is, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to me. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel left, departed from her. I want you to get this. This is really an important moment, because basically Mary's heard all this stuff. Okay, right? Quick review. Mary, you're a young lady, and you're about to face some really ugly moments, really, because you're about to get pregnant. Can you imagine being Mary? I mean, she's a normal female of her time. I mean, how do you go to mom and dad and say, I'm pregnant? And of course, they're going to say, Joseph, the father? No, Joseph's not the father. Oh, Mary, you've had an affair. You got to realize she's betrothed. To have any relationships outside of Joseph now, even with Joseph, is a bad idea. But even outside of that, right? And Mary says, no, I haven't had sex with anybody. What do you mean you haven't had sex with anyone? You're pregnant. Oh, no, it's the Holy Spirit. It's just not working real well, is it? and then, of course, you know, I can go see the conference. Joseph, what's going on? No, it's the Holy Spirit. An angel came and told me. And I can just say, yeah, right, guys, sure. You're just trying to hide and make what you've, because you've just done something wrong and you're trying to do an end run around it. But they weren't. I mean, the miracle of their even survival of going through all that, of all the talk in the village of moms and dads and all the things that were going on. We'll talk more about this tonight. You begin to realize what a miracle that they even got through this in any healthy fashion. But realizing all this, Mary knew, even in her young age, the consequences of accepting this mission was great. Sometimes God comes and speaks to us and says, will you accept my word in your life and fulfill the mission I've called you to? And too often we say, oh, sure, absolutely, without thinking through the consequences, because sometimes if we would think about that, we might be a little slower in raising our hand and saying yes. Because I want you to see, the minute Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. In other words, Mary's saying, all right, make it happen. I'm good. I'm ready to jump off the cliff. I'm ready to be the vessel that will bring about God's only begotten son. You're an angel. I believe that. I'm going to accept that. Never had an angel before, but I'm going to go ahead and go with it. Go ahead. And the minute the angel departed from her, she's pregnant. And there's no turning back. I tell you what, when you get to that place, it's a miracle. To have the courage to say yes to God and say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know if I even understand all this or how I'm going to get through it. But you know what? I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to go ahead and trust that you really are an angel. And I'm going to go ahead and say yes, God. I believe that's a miracle every time a human being all of a sudden has that courage, because I believe that's miraculous. At that point, then everything changes. And all of a sudden, we have something that is absolutely, God brings to us something that overcomes the fear and the insecurity and the doubts, because that is God's grace in us. How else could anyone say yes? And Mary did something that I hope you would do. Because I believe, I've done this in my life, I believe if we are open to God's possibilities that are beyond our human capabilities, God does some pretty miraculous things. And I believe that's what God is saying. Will you be open to go beyond what would be your human ability and allow me to do something that's divine in you, that is unique, that is different? And it's pretty amazing that when that begins to happen and we start trusting God, amazing things can take place. The Word of God is full of examples of people who trusted God and great things happen. As much as it's full of examples who they didn't trust God, and it's kind of rough. How many times did Israel face insurmountable, impossible moments and they succeeded or they failed? Israel had their backs against the sea. Pharaoh's coming down on them, right? Passover. Oh, I can't wait to Passover. That's just a few months away. You know why I can't wait for Passover? Because it'll be warmer and the sun's going to be out again. It's the end of that. But here is that, right? We know the story of Passover. We remember that. We celebrate that each year. And we come to that amazing moment. There, an entire nation is about ready to be squashed, so it seems, by Pharaoh's troops. Exodus, right? Chapter, starting early, chapter 4, all the way through about chapter 15. And so you begin to see what's going on here. And think of all the miracles that had happened to those people of God. I mean, you begin to think of the plagues and the deliverances and on it goes. And here it is, they're faced again with an obstacle, and they are saying the words, "It is impossible. Moses, why did you bring us out here? Why did you get us into this mess?" I could hear some of us saying something similar. God, why did I ever listen to you? I wouldn't be in this mess if I hadn't, you know. Pastor, man, I'm not sure I want to listen to this. Because if I do, I think something bad might happen. Because you're talking about some pretty impossible stuff here. And God's saying, yeah, you're right. This is seemingly impossible. But what did God do when the nation of Israel had their backs against the sea and Pharaoh's troops coming down about ready to wipe them out? He did something pretty impossible. He parted the Red Sea, and they crossed. How many times does God have to do a miracle for you to believe God can do the possible in the midst of the impossible? I want you and I to believe in miracles again. I want to encourage you to believe in a Christmas miracle, because I believe God does miracles. Tonight, we're going to continue looking at the miracles of God. We're going to look at the gifts that God brings. We're going to just continue in what God has for us. It is absolutely amazing.